One-third of all deaths of Detroit residents are due to heart disease. This is 1.5 times higher than the rate in Michigan and the country as a whole. This presents a tremendous opportunity for us to positively impact the heart health of Detroit residents, and the Healthy Environments Partnership is committed to doing that and addressing this problem by facilitating a walking movement in the city of Detroit. I want to start by just saying that neither Cindy nor I have any relationships to disclose. So the Healthy Environments Partnership is a community-based participatory research partnership based in Detroit, and we are comprised of health service providers, community-based organizations, community members, and the University of Michigan School of Public Health. And we've been working together since the year 2000 to better understand and address heart disease in the city of Detroit. All partners in our community-based participatory research partnership are involved in the development, implementation, and evaluation of each phase of the intervention. HEP is also an affiliated partnership of the Detroit Community Academic Research Urban Research Center, which is a community-based participatory research center focused on applying research findings to eliminate racial and economic inequalities in the health of Detroit residents. And I just wanted to acknowledge our partners that are listed there at the bottom of the slide. So from 2009 to 2012, the Healthy Environments Partnership ran an intervention called Walk Your Heart to Health. And it was we tested the efficacy of a community health promoter-led walking group intervention in reducing cardiovascular risk. And I'll just give you a very brief overview of the Walk Your Heart to Health program. We supported community and faith-based organizations in developing and sustaining walking groups. The groups met 3 times per week for a total of 32 weeks, so 8 months. Each session involved at least 50 minutes of walking or other physical activity when the weather didn't allow outside walking. And each of the sessions was facilitated by a trained, paid, part-time staff person working as a walking group coordinator. Through this intervention, we were able to demonstrate that walking groups are effective in increasing physical activity and also in reducing multiple health indicators such as cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI. We have a paper forthcoming in health education and behavior that outlines all of our findings, and I encourage you to take a look at that. I'll now turn it over to Cindy to describe the intervention. The intervention was adapted for broader dissemination, and Cindy's going to describe that for us.
Yes, thanks, Sharon. So we hear that Sharon just briefly introduced the Walk Your Heart to Health intervention, but I just wanted to highlight that the Walk Your Heart to Health intervention had a lot of structural support from the Healthy Environments Partnership and also from the sites that led the walking groups in the communities. So here, in order to adapt it to fit the needs of our Detroit community partners, so the community and faith-based organizations, we identified what we like to call as core components. And these were the findings. We used the findings from the Walk Your Heart to Health program, recommendations from existing literature reviews on dissemination efforts, and recommendations from a group of community research associates to identify these components that we felt were the necessary aspects to make sure that we seen the similar effects of what we've seen in the Walk Your Heart to Health program, such as, you know, all the great cardiovascular benefits that the participants seen. So we understand that the sites have limited resources, so these are the components that were considered to be most feasible and allowed for the similar benefits. These were the HEP-trained Walk Your Heart to Health or walking group coordinators, facilitated sessions 3 times per week for 8-month periods, sessions to include the 50 minutes of walking per session, and to have at least 8 members walking per session. We also included another strategy that sometimes it's harder to really emphasize to our group members, and that's really trying to build group social support amongst the members of the walking groups or group cohesion, and we work really closely with the groups in trying to accomplish this. So once we identified the information from the dissemination, we moved into our dissemination phase, which included ways to engage Detroit communities with the findings. one of the strategies was to build the capacity building program. And in this capacity building program, we aim to promote walking in Detroit and strengthen individual and organizational capacity to start and sustain their own walking groups in the community. We began the program in spring of 2013, and we are ongoing with this process. So the capacity building offers the organizations training, technical assistance, and financial support to select faith-based and community-based organizations. And it comes through in through a competitive application process, which is here. So the application process is, it requires organizations to propose an implementation plan. So every walking group is unique, and we understand that. So each walking group can propose how they propose they're going to implement their own walking group. They will create their own budget for their walking group. We provide an application workshop so that we can tell them about our aims of the capacity building program, what we hope to accomplish, and how we hope that these have similar, some core components from the walking groups are translated into their walking group that they implement. So during the sessions, they have opportunity to work with the HEP staff to develop their applications. And then we also do one-on-one meetings so that if an applicant needs a little bit more assistance in developing their application, they have the support to do that. So once the applications are submitted, a subset of the HEP steering committee reviews the applications and selects the capacity building program grantees. This aim, we aim to support a total of 20 organizations, and to date we've accepted 13 organizations in the capacity building program. So let me just tell you a little bit about the support that an organization can expect to receive while they're in the capacity building program. So some of it is specific to just those in the program, and some of it is for residents citywide. So such as the supporting walking group training, which we like to call SWAG training. So our SWAG training is open to any Detroit resident that's interested in starting their own walking group. So whether it be with our block club or anyone, it's just learning the basics of how to start your own walking group. Topics include, and it's offered in a variety of workshops that total up to 12 hours. So it's, you know, sessions including facilitation techniques and things of that sort. We also offer, and this is more specific to the people that are in the capacity building program, we offer capacity building sessions that kind of go above and beyond the basic information that we go through in the SWAG training. And this is to build the skills to leading a walking group and sustaining these walking groups. Things like grant writing sessions are offered. We've offered, because we live in Michigan, we've offered sessions on how do you sustain a walking group through the winter months in Michigan. We also have on-site coaching that's offered by our community health promoters, and our community health promoters are those that led the walking groups during the intervention phase. So they have over 4 years of experience in leading walking groups. These coaches come to the sessions once or twice a week when the walking groups start, and they just identify areas on, you know, that they can improve on. So it can be simple recruitment strategies or things of that sort. And then the technical assistance really comes in way of helping the organization sustain the efforts that they're implementing. Now, we've been running these walking groups, these adapted walking groups, for over a year and a half now. And we've encountered a few challenges, not too drastic, but a few challenges. And these include, and we're actively addressing them, so I just wanted to bring those up front. During the application process, we encountered that there's people that have more and less experience on developing proposals. So that's exactly why we developed the workshop, so that we can really hold people's hand and really guide them through the process of developing a successful application. The payment process was one thing that we encountered as a challenge. The funds are awarded through two organizations through the University of Michigan, which is a larger institution, and setting them up for payment just kind of in the larger institution. It was kind of lengthy, and sometimes it posed a problem to our groups if they had the inability to purchase supplies up front. So that was just one of the challenges that we heard from the community partners. Another thing, we run off of the American Heart Association guidelines of walking 150 minutes per week in order to gain cardiovascular benefits or reduce the risk of cardiovascular risk. So that way, we're really promoting people coming to these walking groups. If you come three times a week, walk the 50 minutes in our walking groups, you're going to be able to achieve the 150 minutes. And one of the challenges is consistent participation. But we also understand that 3 days a week commitment for an 8-month period is a big commitment, and there's other responsibilities that people have to tend to. So we're constantly addressing, you know, different strategies to employ. And then the other thing that we're also seeing is that several of our groups are struggling to continue their walking groups beyond the 8-month commitment or after they're done with the capacity building program. So we're working with the program sooner to think about things like sustainability. Now, there's one thing that I really can't ignore. We live in Michigan, so the most obvious is when you're dealing with an 8-month walking group is that you encounter environmental factors that are going to be a challenge for leading an 8-month walking group. Now, we face challenges such as the winter weather in Michigan. I hear we're, you know, having a snowstorm right now as we speak, so I'm sure the walking groups are going to be leaving messages. But we also have things like poor sidewalk conditions in some areas, poor lighting, things of that sort that we just have to strategize a little better on, you know, selecting routes and things like that. So, and then the other little part of it is that we conduct process evaluation, and sometimes this relies heavily on the community-based and faith-based organizations to collect the data and turn it back into us. So some of this is just, you know, working with them so that we have consistent data, and sometimes we're not seeing that from the organization, which is also building their capacity on conducting research, right? So I will go ahead and turn it back over to Sharon.
So in addition to the challenges, over the last year and a half, we've also identified a number of factors that have really facilitated the success of our walking groups, and so I'd like to just share some of those. First and foremost, our walking group coordinators are really amazing, and they are responsible for much of our success. They're primarily residents from the community, and they serve as cheerleaders and support, and they really are what keep our walking groups going and keep our participants walking. So we really appreciate that. Another thing is regular coaching sessions. As Cindy mentioned, our staff meets regularly with the walking groups, and they provide on-site technical assistance, problem solving. They participate in the walking groups so they can kind of see in real time what's happening and what challenges might need to be addressed. And so those sessions are really valuable to our walking group coordinators. We also find that our most successful sites are those that have an actively engaged host site leader. So often that might be the executive director of a community-based organization. At a faith-based organization, it might be either the pastor or one of the primary staff people. And when they're really engaged and communicate regularly with the walking group coordinator, it facilitates success. And finally, we have very strong relationships with our partners that we spoke of earlier, our steering committee partners, as well as other organizations in the community that help us address some of the challenges we've encountered, including for example, the environmental challenges. They are able to help us identify routes that have good sidewalk conditions, that are well lit, that are maintained for snow and ice. So that is one of our facilitating factors. Finally, I'll quickly go through some of our lessons learned. Every organization is unique, so all of the community and faith-based organizations that we work with, they may share some of the same challenges, but they all bring different strengths to the table. So just recognizing that and emphasizing the importance of their strengths and working with them on some of their weaknesses has really been helpful. We've learned that offering regularly scheduled meetings for members of our staff to sit down and talk with the walking group coordinator and the host site leadership has been really valuable. When we first started working with groups, we did that at 8-week intervals, and we're now doing it more frequently, and we're finding that it's really valuable to identify problems early on and address them. One other thing that we've also changed from when we first started to now is now we're trying to incentivize the success of our groups. So if groups are able to meet certain benchmarks, they can become a certified Walk Your Heart to Health walking group. And that, along with certification, comes, we hope, sort of a badge of honor. But also there are some funds that follow that. They get a $1,000 bonus to continue to support their walking group. They also will get from us a letter of support. So when they seek funds elsewhere, we can vouch for the success that they've had. We also have found that involving walking group members in facilitating the walking group has been really helpful. It could be anything from leading an icebreaker exercise at the beginning or helping with a warm-up or a stretch activity. It just helps people feel more engaged with the group. And finally, as Cindy said, one of the things we're really working with groups on early on is to try to identify how they're going to sustain the program after our support ends. So it's both the on-site coaching support, but also some financial resources that we're able to bring to the table. So in terms of next steps, one of the things that we would like to do is to secure funding to evaluate our adapted Walk Your Heart to Health program. We'd like to evaluate the health outcomes that the groups that are implementing now are seeing. So that's one thing we'd like to explore. And secondly, we really want to explore partnerships with some of our community healthcare institutions to try to provide further support for community health workers who are working to support walking groups. That's all we have. Thank you very much. I have a few handouts in the back. It's a two-page summary of our Walk Your Heart to Health findings that I encourage you to take.
That's okay.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Most of the participants in your pictures look like women. Did you notice there was a difference in gender participation, and are you doing anything to try to engage men and encourage them to participate?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the thing. So she said she sees in our picture that most of the participants are women.
Right.
And are we doing anything to address that? It is open to all, to both men and women. We encourage both, but the vast majority of our participants are women. So I'll let Cindy talk to the strategies to try to encourage men to participate.
Yeah, so, and it varies also. So we see our walking groups are citywide, so we see that certain areas there's more participation, and it might be based on, like, the age of the population as well. I don't know, and this is just my observation. We haven't really, you know, really looked at the research and collected information on it, but like in Southwest Detroit, we have a younger population where it's, you know, stay-at-home moms that are usually attracted to the walking group. In other areas, we recruit mostly people that are retired, so there's more likely to be people of both genders that are coming, you know, to the walking group. So I think it varies based on the community, and there are some strategies that the walking group coordinators are employing. So, for example, they have a bring your family member to walk day, you know, something like that, or they encourage them to bring someone special, either from their social support. So it might just be that, you know, a woman is bringing her husband or her brother or someone along. So, you know, those are kind of the smaller strategies that the walking group coordinators can employ to try to get, you know, men more involved in the walking group. I will say that there's also some groups that use it to their advantage where they might feel that having more men in the walking group while they're walking in the community makes them feel safer. So they, you know, use that as a strategy to ask men to come along and say, hey, you know, can you continue to come to my walking group? And it gives them a role in the walking group. So that's just, you know. Yeah, exactly. So that kind of goes back to the roles when Sharon was talking about giving members roles and responsibilities. It could be something like making sure that everyone is on the route. Everyone that goes out on the route for the walk comes back, and that just be one of them.
Very good. Thank you.